We bring in Reuben Frank from NBC Sports Philly. Reuben, an absolute pleasure as always. Welcome back.
You got it. How you doing?
I'm doing great, and I want to start with, I read your tweet about the 2017 draft, and my first thought was, this guy and I must talk to each other all the time because it's exactly how I feel about such things. We all want to give, quote, draft grades afterward. Your tweet about the 2017 draft offered tremendous perspective. So how do you put drafts into perspective when you look at what they did in 2017 or what they didn't do in 2017?
Yeah, and the point being that draft grades I've always thought were silly because, you know, you just don't know for a couple years how these guys are going to pan out, and there's just so much that goes into it. And a guy that seems like a really good prospect, who knows how the money affects them? Who knows how being away from home affects them? Who knows how being in a different scheme with new coaches, new teammates affects him? It's really just unpredictable. So in 2017, yeah, the Eagles got an A for their draft, and I don't think any of those guys are even on the team anymore. I guess Derek Barnett is, but it's funny. It's like you look at the Eagles' 2011 draft, and Danny Watkins, an offensive lineman, was their first-round pick, and another offensive lineman, Jason Kelsey, was a sixth-round pick.
Right.
So people now look back at that draft as being a failure because they missed on their first-round pick, but they got a possible Hall of Famer in the sixth round in Jason Kelsey. Right. Well, what if those two spots were switched? What if they got Kelsey in the first round? They got a Hall of Fame, five-time All-Pro type guy, and then Danny Watkins was just an afterthought in the sixth round. Then people would think, well, that's a great draft. So really, to me, it's just it doesn't matter except how many good players you get ultimately in that draft. And I think people look at it the wrong way a lot. You really have to wait. You just don't know for a couple years with most of these guys.
Exactly, because I know in what I do in broadcasting Penn State games, I know it's a leap from high school to college. I also know that going from college to the NFL is a chasm. And you don't know how it, like, Cam Hayward was a first-round pick. The first couple of years with the Steelers, everybody's like, okay, fine. Right. Now look at him. He's like the Rock of Gibraltar because on his own clock, he got better, Reuben.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I've known Tony Sackis since he was a freshman in high school.
Yeah.
He's a guy who was a very good college quarterback, and he was a pretty high pick. He's out of the league in a couple of years. You just don't know. You just don't know how these things are going to go.
Yeah, because I was on the broadcast team back when Tony played here. I mean, let's face it, he had a lot of the great natural physical gifts to play, but it didn't quite translate to the next level. So, but to me, when I look at a draft, like 72 hours later, what I ask myself, based on what I'm seeing, would I still make the same pick? That's how I start.
Mm-hmm.
To me, with the Eagles, at least in the first couple of rounds, I still would have made those picks. Now we'll just see how they play. How do you feel about it?
Well, the second-round pick scares me a little because of his injuries. It's a real boomer bust type pick. That's Landon Dickerson, the center from Alabama.
Yep.
If he's healthy, he's a Pro Bowl guard. There's no doubt in my mind he's that good. I mean, he's a special talent.
Yep.
But this is a kid who's 22 and has had two ankle surgeries and two ACLs. So what Landon Dickerson did the Eagles get? Nobody knows. If you know, does he just keep getting injured and drift out of the league in a couple of years? Or, you know, can he stay healthy and become a, you know, a really fundamental piece of that offensive line? Nobody knows. So I think it's a risky pick at 37, but the potential there is boundless. So I think that pick kind of makes or breaks this draft because Devontae Smith, to me, is a star. I mean, he's going to be a star.
Yeah.
He's going to be a terrific wide receiver. I'll be shocked if he's not. And then once you get out of the first couple rounds, you get what you get. They're going to hit on a couple of these guys, and they'll miss on most of them, and that's the reality. So to me, Landon Dickerson makes or breaks this draft. If he is what they think he is and he's healthy, this is a heck of a draft. If not, you know, it's below average.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Dickerson does make or break it because when he plays, he's terrific. But the key is when he plays.
Yeah.
And that's the part we don't know. Positionally, you know, how did you feel? Part of this is what you do positionally. So positionally, did the Eagles attempt to address what you thought they needed to?
No, and I think that's a good thing. I think they didn't reach for a cornerback in the first three rounds,
yep,
which was the right thing to do. You know, the value never really matched up with where they picked, and they were true to their board. And they took the best player, the guy that they thought was the best player at that spot, and their biggest need coming was cornerback, and it still is their biggest need. But they're not in a position to reach for a guy. And once Surtain and J.C. Horn were gone before they picked at 10, there just wasn't a sensible spot to get a corner. They finally got Zach McPherson from Texas Tech in the fourth round, but they only got him because they really liked him, not because he was a corner. So I think really this is the first time in a few years that they really didn't reach for anybody. They just, yeah, they stayed true to their board, and really this football team's in a position where there's no reason to reach for anyone because they're not going to be a contender next year, but they could be in 2 years. So you just try to stock up on as many good players as you can, and you know, and see what you have. And you know, did they really need a defensive tackle at 73? No, but they love this Milton Williams kid from Louisiana Tech, and yeah, and they took him there, and they're hoping he'll be a piece, because you never, if you draft for need, you know, you end up getting a player that just shouldn't have been picked there. And
no,
you know, if you pick a defensive tackle and it looks like you might not need a defensive tackle, well, maybe in 2 years that guy's a starter for you. So I think they played it the right way.
Yeah, I think they played it the right way too. McPherson's interesting because obviously I saw him for 2 years here before he transferred to Texas Tech. And
yeah,
I mean, the problem he had here, Ruben, is that there was a logjam at his position. There was very few pathways up here.
Right.
And so he ended up transferring, and I'm happy for him because, I mean, Zach's a terrific
kid. He spoke very highly of his time at Penn State. And he said he loved it there, and that wasn't the reason he moved down to Texas Tech. Exactly what you said. He just needed an opportunity to play, which he got down there. But he did speak really highly of, I guess, his 2 years in State College.
Yeah. Yeah, and his brother, by the way, Josh, was an intern for us. So his brother's a terrific guy, and a good worker too. All right. So moving forward with this team, I know it was a four game sample size. Is it too little, or was that enough for you to make a judgment as to whether Jalen Hurts is an NFL level quarterback?
Well, I think if you look at the games he played, and I think he had the second most combined passing and rushing yards ever by a rookie in his first three starts. Behind Cam Newton, he actually had the sixth most passing yards, and that's with no wide receivers you could even name right now. Four out of five backups on the offensive line. Some pretty bad play calling by a coach who's about to get fired. So a dysfunctional quarterback room, to be honest. So
yeah,
I think considering the circumstances, he played better than I expected. And yeah, did he fumble a few times? Yes. This is a kid who never had a preseason, you know, 21 years old, had never played the game on the NFL level. And I thought he played better than I expected. And certainly the flaws you can work with, but the talent is there. Now, can he do it consistently? I haven't seen enough to answer that. I don't think anybody has. He started and finished three games.
Right.
And he played three full games and parts of two others. So it's really not enough to draw any conclusions, but it's enough for me to feel like if they get this kid some weapons, and they certainly did with Devontae Smith, and get him an offensive line that's healthy and intact, and a play caller in Nick Sirianni who can help put him in those positions to succeed, I think he's got a chance. I really do. I saw a lot of good things. I like that he gets the ball down the field, and people made a big deal about his accuracy. I mean, he's thrown down the field every other snap, which I like, to guys who really, half of them won't even be in the league this year. Obviously, he's athletic. He can run, and I thought with each passing game, he used better judgment about when to run, when to take off, when to throw it out of bounds. So I saw growth just in those few games, and I'm excited to see him. I'll tell you what, I think he's got a chance. I can't sit here and say he's the answer. But I do think he's got a pretty good chance.
So let's get back to the early part of your answer. You said he did this without a training camp, no preseason games. This year there'll be at least three preseason games. For Nick Sirianni and this group, how important will this preseason be for them in terms of evaluation to figure out where they have to go with this moving forward?
Well, yeah, I think it's, I mean, it's reps, and for Jalen, I mean, that's, he just hasn't had enough of them. So I think there's so many, because I mean, this is a new coach who's not going to have OTAs, doesn't have a rookie camp. So he's behind the eight ball already. So I think those three games, assuming it's three preseason games, are going to be huge. And, you know, I don't think they'll make any final judgments about Jalen Hurts based on those games, but it's just going to be huge for him to get those reps with these young receivers that he's just really never had a chance to practice with. I mean, he wasn't getting any reps until he was a starter and with the one. So really valuable stuff. And I think they're going to go into it just understanding that whatever happens in the preseason, you're not going to draw any conclusions from, but it's going to be really important work for him.
Always a pleasure to be with you, Ruben. Thanks so much for your perspective. It's great. Appreciate it.
You got it. We'll talk to you down the line.